When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. It is a new week here on Football Full Circle across this Spiz Grizz Radio Network. And it's a big week, Joe, in the National Football League. Now, you might be thinking, what could be so large in the middle of May? Still a couple of weeks out from Memorial Day. We're not even talking X's and O's or anything football-related just yet on the field. But Joe, that's actually not the case. On Wednesday, it is schedule release day around the National Football League. And as of this Monday morning, we got some big news as well. That is the season opener in Kansas City. We knew the Chiefs, the two-time reigning Super Bowl champs, would start off a new NFL season at home inside Arrowhead for a second consecutive year. And now we know KC's opponent. It will be a rematch, Lisi, guy of the AFC Championship game from a season ago, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, opening night of the 2024 NFL season. That's Thursday, September 5th.
Yeah, and they opened last year against the Detroit Lions, right? The up-and-coming team that knocked them off 21-20. It was a great matchup in Arrowhead. Jared Goff and the Lions got the victory. Now it's the rematch in their house in Arrowhead. Can Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens start a lot faster than they did in that championship game, right? And can they contain Travis Kelce? I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? I mean, Travis Kelce, 8 early and often, 11 receptions. But this is what you want to see if you're a football fan, right? The Super Bowl champs going up against the team that hopefully now has rebuilt and can challenge Kansas City as that second best team. And can Lamar outdo Pat? And until he does it, until he gets that marquee win under his belt in the playoff aspect, you still got to give the edge, obviously, to Pat Mahomes that has now won 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah, absolutely so. And this, of course, not a playoff matchup, not a postseason matchup. It will not decide how we view Lamar Jackson's playoff record. It will not mess with that. However, it will bring plenty of narratives on Friday morning, September 6th, and all the buildup that we have for that game. And the buildup, Joe, is going to be a huge part of it. It is going to be a record-setting affair, in my estimation, television-wise, for this season opener. The NFL always sets records in terms of TV viewers and audience. This is certainly going to be that. It will be the entire offseason, the entire summer, waiting for football, and that first game of the year is the AFC Championship game rematch from a year ago. And Lisi, it might be the rematch from last year's AFC title game, and as the odds makers expect, it could be a very early preview of this year's AFC Championship game in 2024. It is the Chiefs, then the Ravens, the two short shortest prices to win the AFC. Kansas City at plus 370. Baltimore backed by just over a buck at plus 490. Two best prices to win the AFC crown entering 2024, Joe. So maybe a rematch and potentially a preview of what is to come the remainder of 2024's NFL campaign.
Yeah, week one provides a gauge, just like you said, right?
Yeah.
We know what the Kansas City Chiefs are, good, bad, or ugly. We know what they're capable of, right? And they showcased that in terms of the playoff run last year. They could turn it on as well as any team in the AFC or NFC. What we need to see is, what do we get out of Lamar Jackson? Where's their emotional mindset after having home field advantage and losing that ball game a few months ago to Kansas City and Pat Mahomes, right? Can Lamar Jackson sort of shake that rust and I want to say stigma right now that, you know, a young quarterback has until he can win that championship game and take his team to a Super Bowl? So that is the main thing for Baltimore. This is a gauge. How do they start? Where do they go? And this could actually really, if they get this win in Arrowhead, yeah, it could sort of catapult them just the way the Detroit Lions had,
yeah,
knowing that they beat the top team in terms of the NFL. Look at where it took them, straight to an NFC championship appearance, and that is the bar now for the Baltimore Ravens, right? It's AFC championship or bust, but now you have to win it.
Yeah, last year Baltimore, of course, 13 wins, NFL's best record at 13-4, number one overall seed in the AFC. Lamar Jackson vanquished a couple of the demons in terms of his playoff career record with the big win over the Houston Texans, only to have those questions arise once again as the next week inside the Charm City hosting the Kansas City Chiefs, they got beat outright, 17-10. KC back in its fourth Super Bowl in the past 5 years, third Super Bowl champion. Championship for Patrick Mahomes and KC, the second consecutive for the Chiefs. We do not have any questions about Kansas City's Super Bowl and playoff pedigree. We do still about the Baltimore Ravens under Lamar Jackson. And it's not all on Lamar, but of course you are defined as a quarterback by your team's success as well. And when it comes to the most significant of games, those playoff matchups, the AFC title game, Lamar Jackson and the flock have fallen short in his now 5 years as a starter in the National Football League. So, Lisi Guy, when you look at this year, I think it's a great point in the comparison to last year's season opener, also inside Arrowhead, of course, as the Chiefs played host to the Lions. No Travis Kelce, no Chris Jones for that game, but Detroit, still an underdog, went into Kansas City and won outright 21-20. And all summer long, Joe, we judged that game for the Lions, booked as a favorite to win the NFC North, a divisional favorite to win their first divisional crown in 30 years. That game against Kansas City was seen as a litmus test for Dan Campbell and Detroit, one they passed, of course, with flying colors and continue to do that week in, week out, month by month, and into the postseason for Detroit all year long. First playoff home game in 30 years. First playoff victory in 32 years. First NFC title game appearance in more than three decades. It's just 1 week, and obviously Baltimore has had more success than Detroit as a franchise in the last few years. Of course, a Super Bowl champion as well under John Harbaugh back in 2012. But when you look at this flock, under the guidance of Lamar Jackson, could this be a statement game very early on? Of course, Lamar Jackson and Baltimore expected to be that AFC championship frontrunner right alongside Kansas City, but that first game can provide a sense of belief. It's a very, very long season that even if you drop the opener, as Kansas City did a season ago, and then rattled off six straight wins, had its struggles throughout the month of December, but turned things around in the postseason, that even if you drop the opener, you can win a Super Bowl. But for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, it's about making statements, and they'll look to do that against the Chiefs as they start their second consecutive Super Bowl title defense.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, more important for the Ravens because it is a gauge. And again, you know, what does that do? Let's just say Kansas City does in fact win. What is the margin of victory, right? And Baltimore could reel off 8 of 9 or 10 of 12. But if you still have to play the Kansas City Chiefs from an emotional standpoint, right, what does that say? Right, that is the biggest thing why it's important for the Baltimore Ravens to show well and potentially win this game number one of the season, because it could definitely, like I said, catapult you, but it sets the bar for your team. Hey, we just beat the top team. We have to stay focused. You lose that for a team like Baltimore that hasn't made it over the hump, Lamar Jackson, and all of a sudden the wheels could fall off, right? I'm not saying that it would, but there's the potential, no matter how good they are, the continuity and obviously the mindset of this team could be very fragile. So that is the biggest thing. Yeah. You know, if you're Baltimore, you lose that game in your house the way you did, and knowing how Lamar Jackson threw two interceptions, knowing that the offense didn't run it until the game was already decided, right, in the second half of that matchup, that's important. Mm-hmm. You want to take it to Kansas City in their house. So, you know, this is all offseason. I'm sure John Harbaugh and the Ravens have been thinking about this.
For sure. And they'll get an opportunity in their first game since the end of their 2023 season and the crushing defeat in the AFC Championship game to quickly right that wrong, at least in terms of beating the team that beat them. Not quite the same stakes. But we're back here on Football Full Circle with more on the season debut next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, the season opener for the 2024 National Football League campaign is now officially set. Thursday, September 5th, it's a rematch of last year's AFC title matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. Last year was in the Charm City. This year it's in KCMO inside Arrowhead at the home of the two-time defending and reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. So, Lisi guy, when you think about this matchup, one of my favorite things with the schedule being released in full by Wednesday night is throughout the offseason, as things start to trickle out, first it's the Super Bowl odds, then it's the conference title odds for the next year, then it's the divisional prices, win totals within the last month, all of that good forecast of an NFL season upcoming. But one of the reasons I love that we get these marquee matchups revealed a little bit before the entirety of the schedule is released on Wednesday is because you get to see how the odds makers judge and evaluate team versus team. Those weekly spreads that we bet week in, week out, Sunday after Sunday around the National Football League. And maybe it's going to take us a while to lay down our first wager on an actual individual game for the 2024 NFL season. Completely understand that. But the lines are out for the two games that we have set on the opening weekend. That includes, Joe, that season opener on that Thursday night, September 5th in Kansas City, with the Chiefs a 2.5-point favorite against the Ravens, the over-under 46.5. Again, not looking for a best bet or a handicap here, but I do love, because these two teams are the two front-runners to win the AFC this upcoming season, separated by less than a field goal inside Arrowhead. And again, it's a great picture of how these two teams are evaluated against one another, not just from the future outlook.
No, you're right, and I'm looking at the lines right now in regards to the total, 46.5. I actually like that total because, again, you know, we have Xavier Worthy, we have new weapons for Kansas City, and we know that Baltimore, even though they want to run the football better, the hugest and biggest question mark for Lamar Jackson is that, you know, when they're pushed, when they're behind, like they were in the AFC Championship game, can the passing attack be consistent? That is the biggest question mark, whether Lamar Jackson is coupled with that elite quarterback, tag, right? We talk about Pat Mahomes that no matter what is on the line, 2 minutes or less, his team needs a score, you know you can count on Pat Mahomes, right? The game was over once overtime hit, and Pat Mahomes had an opportunity to win it, right? We knew that because that's what Pat Mahomes does almost each and every season. For Lamar Jackson, that is what what he has to answer right now. And again, I would hope that especially against the best team, you don't go vanilla. You want to actually showcase everything to see if you are up to par with the best team in the conference in regards to Spagnuolo's defense as well, and see what you potentially need to work on throughout the regular season, that if you do have a rematch, at least you're there and you know what weapons you can count on and what ones you don't, because you know the rushing attack, they're not going to rush for 180 yards a game anymore.
Yeah, again, it's different, right? It's going to be a different philosophy for Baltimore moving forward. And you want to see what the Ravens do with Derrick Henry, as Joe alluded to, but what they continue to do in the second year under Todd Monken in terms of that passing attack. But I love it, Joe, because the Chiefs have the highest win total in the National Football League. It's 11.5. The Ravens also at 11.5, but based on the where the juice lies, you can start to see the most likely outcome or what is expected to really hammer down who has the highest win total. And the Chiefs have the highest one, 11.5. The over has the juice at -122. 11.5 is the number for the Ravens as well, but the under heavily juiced at -162. So when you look at Kansas City, they are expected to be that better team. They have the best price to win the AFC. They're a heavy favorite, and rightfully so, to win the AFC West. Baltimore in a much more competitive division in the AFC North, albeit the Ravens are booked as the favorite. We get those comparison points, certainly, but against one another, less than a field goal, even in KC on opening night, to hang the banner for a second straight year, for a third season in the last five, and it only to be a 2.5-point spread is intriguing to me. Compare it with the other matchup that we have set, Joe. That's in Sao Paulo the following night. That's Friday, September 6th, the Brazilian opener between the Packers and the Eagles. That's a neutral site football game where Philly is booked as the home team, but only a 1.5-point favorite. -118 on the money line, even money +100. For Green Bay. You can get that estimation versus one another. Green Bay and Philly, we expect to be two teams to reach the NFC postseason. The Chiefs and the Ravens, the two front runners to win an AFC championship and play in Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. And these are the lines that we get with almost razor thin adjustments at this moment. That's what I love, Joe, to really get that full recipe for your evaluation.
Yeah, and I think the Green Bay Eagle game is an even matchup. And the reason why I say that is, even though it's Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith, they do have a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. The game's played in Brazil. It's on a neutral field. And we have a lot of question marks with Vic Fangio's defense, even though we like the pieces that they've added, right? They still have to show that from a unit perspective. So how do they gel in terms of a new scheme? So that's what I'm interested in. I'm very high on Green Bay this year, as you know. I expect them to win the division, even though it's not going to be easy going up against Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago, respectively. But I love the way that offense developed at the end of the year. I don't believe they're a one-hit wonder. I think Jordan Love proved that he deserved to be the face and the starting quarterback of this franchise moving forward. And I love LaFleur as a coach. So early on, when I look at that matchup, I sort of favor Green Bay. I really do. I would take the 1.5 early on. Obviously, you know, we're a long way out, but if we're talking betting right here, right now, I would take Green Bay, and I think I would lean to the under just because it is a new field. It is in overseas, and that's always a concern as well. Even though they're going to be out there for a period of time, that could take maybe a quarter or two to get acclimated.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. We'll talk the rest of the schedule of release and what we expect in the coming days before we get the full thing out for all 32 NFL clubs on Wednesday. Then we'll change our attention to college football because we've got some matchups set, but we knew that. But where they will be housed, that's the story. Up next here live on Football Full Circle, this Monday rolls on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So, Lisi, as we can expect, leading up to Wednesday, the scheduled release day in the National Football League, that show will come out around 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's part of the beauty of the NFL. Each and everything in the offseason can be made into a live television event, even the release of dates that games are played. We know the matchups. We know who every team has on the docket. Just when and where necessarily, not even where, but when and if it's in prime time the game is being played, that is what we still have left. But again, it's all of the excitement that leads up to that throughout the long football offseason. But as we saw this morning when we got the release date of that of what the matchup would be for the NFL season opener, that debut matchup between the Ravens and the Chiefs. Over the next couple of hours, Joe, over the next couple of days leading up to Wednesday night, we'll start to get those release dates of the marquee matchups. Who's playing on Thanksgiving? Who's playing on that Christmas Day slate? How many games will insert X team have in primetime? It's a really fun part of the schedule, Joe, to know who is loaded into those marquee matchups all season long.
Yeah, it is. And what I find interesting as well is just, you know, this is, you could gauge, maybe you're not jumping into the futures market, you know, with both feet right here, right now, before Memorial Day. But now you could sort of gauge, okay, this is who they have on the schedule. This is what I know, you know, I need to navigate through if I'm going to get over the 8.5 to 9.5, and I'm willing to take a shot, right? So we always talk about schedule for the college perspective. Well, now in the NFL as well, it's just as important, and it could actually affect how these teams play in late December and, more importantly, early January for the playoff perspective. So I love to see it as well. And now, you know, once they actually set the schedule on Wednesday, we'll have a better understanding. Yeah. But you could jump the gun right here, right now, a couple days before, because it does give you the opportunity to at least get a jump, you know, a half a unit, a quarter unit, do it like that. And then when the, you know, fully released, if you get a little CLV, then you could drop the hammer.
Yeah, absolutely so, right? You're going to know exactly what travel time looks like on a week-to-week basis. Of course, that is a huge indicator. You'll know exactly when bye weeks are, who might have a rest advantage. Let's say insert X team plays on Thursday, has that mini bye week with the 10 days off. All of those things are incorporated in those betting odds. All of those things, Joe, are used in the evaluation of who has the most difficult schedule or who has one of the easier schedules around the National Football League. Sure, we know all 17 opponents for all 32 NFL teams this upcoming season, but when exactly those games are played and at what time? Is it a Sunday? Is it a marquee holiday game? Could it be a Thursday game? Those things still up to be determined, and that builds the hype and the excitement. I wonder, Joe, what we're going to get on Thanksgiving, because we'll know that third game as well, the nighttime game a little bit later on this week. I look forward to those games each and every year, and they're often marquees. And there was once a time, Joe, that, no offense, in the last decade, really, the Lions game was kind of what you woke up to, and you're like, all right, I guess I'll put it on because it's football on Thanksgiving. But now that game in Detroit is going to be great, because you have a Lions team expected to win the NFC this year, a Lions team expected to win the NFC North, a Lions team that is going to be held to the standard of replicating the success of last season. And depending on who the opponent is, Joe, it could be a really, really big marquee matchup to start off that Turkey Day tripleheader.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. Last year, it was Green Bay and Detroit. It was one of the rare games that Jared Goff and Detroit got blown out, right? Jordan Love started so hot in terms of that matchup, they never looked back, and it was a clear over, I could tell you that. Prop bets were hitting left and right. So that is the biggest thing. You know, Detroit is a team now. They're there. They've arrived, right? You make it to the NFC Championship, you're no longer the huntee, you're the hunted. So, you know, we'll see who they match up with. I love both of those games, you know, Dallas and Detroit. For sure. I love watching it. Dallas blew out Washington. They were laying 13.5, but it was still an NFC East game. You never know what you're going to get. And the game at night as well, San Fran and Seattle, another NFC West rivalry. It just so happened that Brock Purdy pounded the Seahawks. That's what you want to see, though. It gets you going from wall to wall. So, you know, Dallas is going to be there. Detroit's going to be there. And I'm assuming we get an AFC matchup at the end of the night.
Yeah, I'm sure we will as well. And all of that information is going to be released. Speaking of schedule releases and dates that are released, that also incorporates the TV networks and our games in primetime. We'll have that same conversation in college football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Listen, part of the reason that a schedule release day can be as exciting is because it's the middle of May. And although we have playoff action in the NBA and the NHL currently going on and the daily grind of the early summer of Major League Baseball, as well as many things happening in the collegiate ranks, the WNBA season premieres tomorrow here in 2024, there was nothing like football. There is nothing like optimistically looking forward to a new football season. There is nothing like Saturdays and Sundays in the fall. So it doesn't take all that much, Joe, to build up the excitement of even a release date or perhaps what television network and what time a college football game is going to be played. And we just got some word on what the first two Big Ten football games in primetime are on NBC this year. Big Ten Saturday night on NBC that, of course, began last season as a part of the new NBC deal with the Big Ten media rights deal. And that includes, Joe, week number one, the second and first full Saturday of the year, Saturday, August 31st. That first game in primetime on NBC will be Michigan and Fresno State. We'll talk about that game in just a moment. But maybe more importantly, Joe, it's that week two matchup. It's going to be a big one in Lincoln, Nebraska, and it will be in prime time on NBC. Nebraska and Colorado, a renewal of the Big Eight rivalry. There's a second chance for Matt Rhule to try to knock down Deion Sanders after last year. It was the Buffs making a statement in Boulder over the Cornhuskers, winning 36-14. Second week of the year of college football, Joe. September 7th in prime time inside Memorial Stadium. Nebraska and Colorado, get your popcorn ready.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I got to be honest with you. Does Colorado wear the white jersey with the black pants? That's what I need to know. A la back in the days of Darian Hagan and Eric Bieniemy, two of my favorites, J.J. Pritchard, Mike Pritchard, J.J. Flanagan. I mean, we could go on. I'm going to go off the rails. I love this atmosphere in Lincoln. Dominic Riola's kid potentially will be the starter, right? That's what it's all about. We're talking about a Nebraska a team that had everything in front of them last year. Three games lost by a field goal or less than a touchdown. Everything was there for this team to at least be 6-6, and they couldn't get over the hump. I definitely think they're bowl eligible this year, but I cannot wait for this matchup, especially with Colorado now being a part of the Big 12. This is amazing. Big 10, Big 12 matchup. I mean, buckle up, baby, there's going to be fireworks. What do you think the total could be? Do they have a total out? Do we have a total yet for this game?
On the FanDuel Sportsbook. On the FanDuel Sportsbook, Lisa, I know spread out for this one, which is interesting because I remember at this point last year for the Colorado-Nebraska game, week number two, that line was out. And Colorado's opener on that first Thursday night of the year, also in prime time against North Dakota State, that powerhouse of an FCS program, is already out. It's 7.5, and that total 58 and a hook. Nebraska's defense last year really was its calling card, with the offense and the quarterback play trailing behind. Dylan Raiola, who is Dominic's kid and Donovan's nephew, who is the offensive line coach in Lincoln under Matt Rhule. I would say as of right now, a lot to be decided this upcoming offseason, of course, for this Nebraska team. But I think Dylan Raiola is in line to be that starting quarterback. He would be the second true freshman QB ever in the history of Nebraska football to start in his career debut. The other one, 2018, Adrian Martinez, who had a great freshman year in Lincoln. The rest wasn't all that great under Scott Frost, and of course led to him transferring to Kansas State. But I expect it to be Dylan Raiola, the five-star quarterback recruit, the highest ever rated prospect in the history of Cornhuskers football. And there's been some pretty talented players over the decades in Lincoln, Nebraska. I would expect Nebraska to be favored for that football game, Joe. Not entirely sure what that number is going to look like. I believe it was a 7-point spread even last year in favor of the Huskers, and Colorado won that game outright, of course. Two big upsets to start the year for the Buffs. Of course, they were a 3-touchdown dog against TCU, and they went, that line actually went like crazy, if you remember. In the offseason, yeah, it was a touchdown spread in favor of the Huskers. Nebraska actually closed as a slight underdog in that Week 2 matchup against Colorado last year, and the Buffs won and covered 36-14.
Yeah, I mean, it was due to the Buffs knocking off TCU as a 20.5-point dog, right? That really, you know, flipped the scales in regards to the Buffs' favor that everybody bought in, and they lived up to expectations during the first three games of the regular season. I think it is interesting, and you're absolutely right. The Black Shirts are potentially back for Nebraska. That was their calling card in terms of the mid-90s. They were much more physical in run support, much more physical getting after the quarterback, and they were in each and every game for the most part, right? Because of that defense, their offense needs to take the next level. And I'm torn, but I think it's just like Quinn Ewers too. You know, with Texas, they put him in early. You got to get the kid's feet wet. You recruited him and took him away from Georgia, Dylan Raiola. You got to get him involved. There might be growing pains, you know, one or two games, but at the end of the regular season, you'd be better off for year number three than just sitting his ass and just watching him on the sidelines, right? Wasting the talent. Better to get through the growing pains now. I know Matt Rhule is not on the hot seat, but the expectations are there to get back to a bowl game. You gotta go with your best guns. I think Dylan Raiola is that option. And again, they were still one-dimensional last year. Inconsistent in the passing attack. They need to get better. He helps them in a big way.
Yep, absolutely so, Joe. I think it is Dylan Raiola's show. I think it has to be from the very start. I think he has the talent and the composure, knowing his place in this program and really on the national landscape, not to be like, oh, I'm a true freshman starting because I beat out our veteran who went down in fall camp. No, it's I'm the true freshman starting because, frankly, I'm the prince who was promised in Lincoln, Nebraska. The story for the Huskers a year ago was a pretty similar one that we saw in the 5 years under Scott Frost. Competitive and oh so close, but never quite to the finish line. Nebraska dropped their first two games of the year. They gave Minnesota a test in that season opener in the Twin Cities, covered as a 7.5-point underdog. That was one of five Big Ten losses, Joe, last year by a single score. One of four by 3 points. And after dropping those two games, including to start the year against Colorado in that week number two matchup, they won five of their next six with four games left to win one final game to become bowl eligible for the first time since 2016. They got beat by Michigan State as the Spartans were a slight home underdog in East Lansing. They then returned home against Maryland. They lost by 3. They played Wisconsin as an underdog, lost by 7 there on the road in Camp Randall. And then, of course, in an ugly game in that Black Friday showdown against their rivals in Iowa, they lost 13-10 on the doorstep of a bowl game, Joe. And it's not just 6 wins, I think, this year for Matt Rhule in Lincoln, but that's a huge step to just turn the momentum and turn the narrative around this Nebraska team when it comes to playing games actually on the football field.
Yeah, again, I think they have the potential, Ben, based off of what I saw last year, to be an 8-win football team, which is great success. They would go from 5 to 8. That's perfect when you think about that, the progression, right? And then, obviously, year three, hopefully with a year of 12 games under Raiola's belt, sky's the limit. Maybe they can compete for a Big Ten title or at least be in the mix. That's what you want to see, right? Now, I know there's no more West divisions, but I still think from what I saw on the defensive side of the ball, they're in the upper echelon of that division.
Absolutely so. It's going to be interesting to see how the Big Ten Conference plays out, of course, in this new landscape. There are no divisions. It is not East versus West into the title game. It's the two best winning percentages, and Nebraska is at 60-1. We'll continue to talk conferences up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So, Lisi guy, you brought up an interesting point there that I think is worthy of discussion. Nebraska, 16-1. I don't think they're going to win the Big Ten. Certainly not in a conference now based on win percentage, no longer with East versus West. And in addition to the four West Coast teams, the newcomers to the conference, that would be Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington. And again, Nebraska is 60-1. Currently, they are the eighth shortest number out of 18 teams to win this conference. But could there be a few teams, Joe, in the Power Four leagues that might surprise some folks this year, maybe even in the final few weeks of a college football regular season, unlike years past where you pretty much had to win your conference at the Power 5 level to earn a college football playoff spot, could take one of those at-large berths now in the 12-team CFP field. So, Joe, the conversation has been on the Big Ten. We also talked about Colorado in that game against Nebraska, week number 2 in Lincoln. We'll bring in the Big 12 in just a moment. But, Lisi, outside of Ohio State and Oregon, plus 165 for the Buckeyes, plus 210 for the Ducks. Penn State and Michigan tied for the third best number as well at plus 550. After that, price on the Maize and Blue and the Nittany Lions, a very large drop-off, nearly $20 of drop-off until we get to USC at a 23-1 price. So the premise, Joe, is looking at some teams that might surprise and could be in contention either for a conference crown or maybe third or fourth spot in one of these power leagues, especially the Power Two, being the Big Ten and the SEC, that could steal a college football playoff at large bid. Who would you highlight in the Big Ten outside of the big guns?
Well, the Big Ten, again, Penn State is always on the list because they do it with defense and obviously, Catron Allen and Singleton there. That's always, a legitimate spot. But we've never seen up until this point, we haven't seen, Franklin get over the hump, right? Especially losing to Ole Miss. The team in the Big Ten that I would, if we're looking deep shots, I guess the team for me would be USC. And the reason why I say that is because of the way Miller Moss played, and we saw them step up in terms of the bowl game. There's always that competition that, hey, listen, they're tempered expectations now for Lincoln Riley right now, right? I mean, we're talking about a 7.5 win total as opposed to a 10.5 and 11.5 and having one of the best prices to get into the college football playoffs. So for Big Ten, I would take a shot on USC, 23-1. I mean, again, do I expect it? No. But for the value, yeah, I think it has good value. I mean, there's nobody else that I would say, yeah, I have to bet right here, right now. I think it's a significant drop-off. But Big Ten, obviously Penn State for me, and then USC, that value at 23-1 is too hard to pass up, especially if Moss, where they get that elevation out of the quarterback's position this year.
And Lisi, my biggest concern with Southern Cal is not even Miller Moss stepping up and trying to fill the very enormous shoes of a Caleb Williams. Lincoln Riley, his guy. There's still a lot of talent on that offensive side of the football at Southern Cal. My biggest question is defensively. Danton Lynn, who they bring over from the crosstown rival in UCLA, a bright young defensive coordinator. Can he make an immediate impact for a USC defense that was abysmal a year ago? I mean, as bad as it gets, leading to the dismissal of Alex Grinch, who had been with Lincoln Riley for a very long time. Just getting rid of Alex Grinch in that system with Lincoln Riley, I think, is only going to be a positive impact for USC. And I'm not going to harp on Alex Grinch too much, but it didn't work out there, and it held back the Trojans with a generational-type quarterback and a Heisman winner in Caleb Williams from ever winning a conference championship, appearing in the college football playoff, or doing more than that. And I do think, Joe, you just made a great point, by the way. 23-1 on USC to win the Big Ten. Maybe that ticket doesn't come to fruition. But again, it is a new landscape and a new climate in college football this upcoming season. 12-team college football playoff. And if you're in one of the big two of the Power Four, that would be the Big Ten and the SEC, and you finish third or fourth in the conference standings, and you're a 9-10-win football team, you are going to have life. And you are going to be in the conversation for the college football playoff. Joe, Penn State tied for the third best price to win the Big Ten at plus 550. Normally, in the last decade, if you did not win your conference, there was a very small shot to be a team that basically won one of the four spots into the college football playoff. So if Penn State had the third best number, all right, could they get past Ohio State and Michigan? This year, third best number alongside the Wolverines, but behind the Buckeyes and the Ducks. All right, can they get past Oregon and Ohio State? More than likely, under the James Franklin era, the answer has been no. So it's like, all right, can't bet Penn State to win the Big Ten. Obviously can't win the, or can't make it to the college football playoff. But that's where you're wrong. The Nittany Lions are favored at minus 142 to reach the CFP. Because even, Joe, if they can't get past Ohio State this year and they finish in third and don't play for a Big Ten title, but the Buckeyes are their only loss or one of their two losses in conference and they're 9-3, they are going to be very much alive and in the running for a CFP berth.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more, and that's, you know, that's why teams like Ole Miss and the SEC are alive, and others as well in their respective conferences.
For sure.
You make a great point, because again, we're not talking four, we're talking top 12, and we know you know, Penn State last year lost to Michigan and Ohio State respectively. Assuming that they split this year, and to your point, let's say have one or two losses, and those losses are, let's say, less than potentially 10 points, they're going to be involved in the conversation, right? So that's all you need, right? That's get into the college football playoff, and then anything can happen. Then we could prepare and take a shot and see what happens. Again, I agree with you. I think that's great value. And, you know, when you originally asked me the question, Ben, about teams that, you know, have an opportunity, like dark horses, right? I immediately thought of the ACC. I talked about this the last week. You know, Florida State, plus 154 to make the college football playoff. And the reason why I say that is they don't have a difficult schedule. The schedules are what make or break some of these teams.
For sure.
Clemson at 30-1 is alive.
And because of the idea, Joe, because of the idea of the reshuffling of these conferences, Penn State doesn't play Michigan this year. Sure, they got to travel to the Coliseum in L.A. to take on USC, and they got to go to Camp Randall, but they don't play Michigan, who has been the boogeyman for the Nittany Lions the last couple of years. More football full circle next.